I never knew you were the someone waiting for me. We were just kiss when we fell in love.
Welcome, welcome to pre-episode 2 of...
Yeah, we call it... Yeah,
what's the name of the podcast?
We call it the Kinabatic Basement Podcast.
Okay, no, absolutely not. We are not calling it that. Let's talk.
Yeah, let's. There's a lot going on in the world today.
Yeah, so. Let's talk. So,
yeah,
the really serious issue of the trade war, the tariff war between Donald Trump and Canada. Because I don't want to say U.S. and Canada, because I can appreciate that this is not a U.S. thing. This is Donald Trump being Donald Trump and Canada. So, what's your thoughts about that?
Well.
First of all, how should we respond? Because I'm kind of feeling like, because I know a couple of people married to U.S. people, people dating you. I think they should start breaking up. Like let's take this seriously. Okay?
I think it's always
Canadians start breaking up. Okay?
Yeah.
Send them all back across the border. Let them go back.
No, we don't. These are our friends, right? And I think a lot of times, I don't think Canadians and Americans actually want to be at odds with each other. What's really interesting...
Well, exactly. That's why I said it was this Trump war, Trump's trade war against, you know, Canada.
Yeah. So, yeah. But one thing, like, I would even probably say from our point of view, like, I really loved what Doug Ford was doing this week.
Oh, yeah. Doug is my man. He's my man for the way he's reacting to this, right?
He's reacting the way that I would
want. He's a bully. So, I mean, yeah. he would know how to respond to Trump, another bully, better.
Yeah, he's like, I'm going to cut off your power and I'm not going to give anything to the U.S. So, I mean, yeah. I actually thought that was a really strong response, obviously, right? But, you know, historically, like, Canada and U.S. has shared... partnership, the borders, things like that for a long time. And I mean, obviously, when Donald Trump first came out with the ideas of having these tariffs, right, I don't think anyone was kind of like, okay, well, we want to not be a good neighbor, right? So first we heard it was fentanyl coming into the borders, things like that, right? So of course we're like, you know, wanting to be good neighbors, and we're like, okay,
it's just a few pounds of fentanyl that has crossed from Canada to the U.S. border.
But
right?
I mean, it's still devastating. And I mean, as it is something that he brought up as a concern. And to be honest, I think a lot of Canadians, you know, seeing things going on like in Vancouver, like fentanyl related deaths, that of course we're like, okay, well, it makes sense for us to respond in kind because we're always trying to be a good neighbor. So we did see the last few days of Justin Trudeau's leadership actually take that into consideration and attempt to try to make good on those things, which included, you know, having like
appointing a fentanyl czar, right?
Exactly.
Trump wanted.
And having more like, let's say, agents at the border, like things like that to kind of intercept those shipments. And largely those things have been actually very successful. So... it was kind of still surprising, you know, come, let's say, first few weeks of March, we're seeing, you know, the tariffs still kind of come in place and those looming threats not really dissipate.
To be honest, I think this trade war is just him distracting from the massive failures he's recording in his so-called mass deportation that isn't working as planned.
Yeah. I heard that
they're even going after U.S. citizens, right? I've always known that's how it's going to end up. It's going to end up from them just making it another clear racist, a 2025 Jim Crow type of thing where if you look a certain way, you speak a certain language, you do a certain job, then to them, you're probably not American. So
yeah
so it would be a case of we'll grab you first and then you can prove your citizenship to us later. I was just gonna try and see if we can move on from this, like, America, do your shit.
I was interested about the
I've never taken the country seriously, to be absolutely honest with you. Never I have never taken America. I mean, growing up in Nigeria, I was born in Nigeria. I was born and raised in Nigeria, right? You know, there was a time that America was towards the citadel of everything right in governance, in politics. If we wanted to criticize our government, we'd always say, oh, this would never happen in the U.S. And this would never, this person would never do this in America. But come on.
I mean, like, Trump, only in America.
Trump made me realize that it only takes one bad man, one bad person in governance to turn everything to, I don't want to use the word because I don't want us to do a deep super, to turn everything to BS. And that's what he's doing. Is it a nepotism that we have in Nigeria? I mean, this man literally just kind of gave her, you know, his daughter a job that, you know, I'm not sure.
If he's just a man, that's fine.
Right?
Yeah.
And all of that. But as it relates to Canada, this is a war that was brought on to us. We never called for this war. And so if Trump wants, we're going to fight him with everything, including no more trips to the U.S., including egging on all our friends who are in relationship with U.S. citizens to start breaking up with them.
Don't break up.
Do break up.
Okay? Let it be love. We're still friends. Don't worry.
Are you sure?
I mean, to be honest, like, I think even, I guess, to maybe ring
through, they just pay tax. I mean, if you're married to an American, or if you have if you're in a relationship to an American, we impose some type of tariff, U.S. love tariff on you.
Oh, like, no.
You pay a 50% tariff on everything you bought that your partner or spouse is going to consume.
Yeah.
Right? Because you can impose some stupid tariffs on us, and then your partner, who is a U.S. citizen, then comes here. Well, I guess they're now Canadian citizens because they're your partner. You know, probably, makes sense. But I mean, I'm just saying that to say no holds barred on this tariff war. Like, however they want to fight it, we'll fight it. I have a pre-planned trip to the U.S. in May. I'm considering seriously to cancel. I probably will not cancel, but now...
I mean, enjoy your life.
I mean... if the war keeps going on by then, I'll probably seriously consider canceling. But if I don't cancel, I'll make sure I don't spend a dime.
I mean, that's going to be hard enough going on
dime.
Vacation.
I'll go with my food. I'll cook it there.
You're not doing that. You can't bring food over the border. But, like, actually, it was funny about that, too, because, like, you know, the ideas of certain things being ludicrous... I actually was reading that there has been such a large increase in people smuggling eggs over the border just because eggs are just so expensive in the U.S., right? There's just so many weird things that are coming
in. Serves them right.
But, like, I mean, I'm going to take the Canadian perspective on, like, the things of the tariffs because, you know, our Premier Doug Ford was actually talking about
I love Doug. Doug the way he's reacting to this.
But he's also letting us know that the U.S. is our friend. You know what I mean? And they're one of our closest trading partners. And we've definitely benefited from, like, a symbiotic relationship from each other. Whether that is, like, us having, like, military support, them having natural resources. I mean, it does make sense for that friendship and that relationship to continue.
And just do not treat your friends that way.
I hear that, right? And this
do not treat your friends that way.
Exactly. But this is why Canada is taking such a tough response on this.
Yeah. Right?
One thing that I actually love about this moment is because, you know, Canada itself is a huge melting pot. There's so many cultures here. And this is one threat that Canadians are just unifying on. And I just think that it's actually nice to see. You know, like, a lot of times people are like, what's Canada's identity? But I'm actually seeing this as the unity as, like, you know, we're standing up to bullies and that attitude on the market as a leader. And I'm like, I'm really proud of us right now.
But that reflects really what it means to be Canadian. We are not cowards, but at the same time,
strong and free.
We are not bullies, okay?
Exactly.
You know, in Nigerians will say, well, we go day our day. Right? That's the Nigerian pidgin. We'll go day our day, which basically means we'll just be on our own, right? We're not going to look for your trouble, but when you look for our trouble, we're not going to back down. And that takes me to this very interesting picture that I saw on social media yesterday. Did you see that?
No, what was it?
The Canadian goose and the American eagle? You didn't see that?
No, but one thing I know about geese is that they're very violent, and you don't want to meet them in
the... Go on Google right now. Go on Google and just search Canadian goose fighting off American eagle. I'm sure you'll see it. It gives me so joy.
But like, this is AI, though. Like, it has to be.
No. This lady was real, right? The safety was real. A photographer captured it.
Okay, it's actually kind of breathtaking.
Bullying the goose until the goose was like, okay, enough. Like, stop it.
Yeah.
Right? So...
But I gotta admit, I don't think that's a good reference, because these geese just be, like, so violent all the time for no reason.
Well, this geese... <I'm very Canadian. laughs> this particular goose was not violent. The picture shows it was... on its own, and the eagle comes up just like we were on our own. Donald wins this election, shouldn't have won, and decides he's gonna start war with all of America's friends, and then suck up to America's real enemies, right?
Yeah.
Have you heard? Okay, with Russia, I'm seriously considering imposing sanctions because of the way Russia is pounding Ukraine. But guess what? The loser is the one who stopped supplying arms to Ukraine, right?
Yeah.
Humiliated President Zelensky, belittled him in the Oval Office, thereby giving Putin the green light to say now he's without any backup, because Ukraine's greatest, strongest supporter in this war is the United States.
Yeah.
You do that to him, you're telling Putin, he's out. He's all yours. He's all for the eating alive. And so he's pounding Ukraine, and then you go, oh, I'm seriously considering imposing some sanctions on Russia because of the way. Oh, so with Russia, you're seriously considering it, but Canada, you just announced it today, and they say it was taking effect the next day. Such a loser.
I hear sometimes, like, my American friends actually tell me that Donald Trump. One thing that I actually like about him is that what he says, he does. Because a lot of times when you're looking at politicians...
Oh, I call BS.
Let me just make this point, though. But like you'll see like politicians in power, they're like, we're going to reform Medicaid, we're going to do this. And then essentially 4 years goes by, and it's kind of more of the same.
But that dude says he's not going to touch Medicaid and Medicare, but now he's slashing it.
Okay.
Right, that's why I called BS, right?
For sure. And
he says he was going to build a wall. If there was one thing you could remember Donald Trump with in his first tenure was about building a wall, and Mexico is going to pay for it. Okay. It's going to build a wall so bigly. It's going to be so massive. Okay? And we're going to win bigly. And guess what? He won nothing. Right?
I mean, he won the hearts of American people.
In 2016, I'm just going to go on a short rant.
Okay.
In 2016, they fooled those they thought they could fool by saying, oh, we didn't know it was going to be like that. You've always known. Okay, so stop it. That's what I was telling friends prior to this election when they say, oh, 8% undecided. Oh, this percent undecided. And I told my friend who lives in the U.S., Bikes. I said, Bikes, those undecided are just secret Trump voters. Because there's really no choice here. With Kamala, you scrutinize her with an expectation of perfection.
Yeah.
And then with Donald, who rambles through all his core questions posed of him. Kamala doesn't address for me how she's going to improve our healthcare. She doesn't address to me, what does Donald... Donald was asked a question about... He went to this event in New York. I think it was like a business community in New York pre the election. They asked him a question about how he's going to improve child care, right? To make child care easier. This guy went on at least 2 minutes rant about, oh, we're going to do tariff. We're going to win so bigly. We're going to be hitting money. Like, didn't answer the question. And I still see people that call themselves moderate or sensible, come out and say, oh, Kamala did this. Oh, Kamala is giving them word salad?
Yeah.
Kamala is the one giving you word salad?
Yeah. But But you know, though, like,
bitch, please.
It's funny because just on your point, though, there actually is a response to what he actually did to the education, right? So recently, it was announced that he's trying to do away with, it's kind of like their version of the Board of Education.
Yeah, Department of Education.
Yeah. And I don't know. Sometimes, like, I was watching, like, you know, shows like Miss America and things like that, where that's kind of like a representation of, you know, beauty in America. And also, like, you know, they're American people. And when they ask you, like, certain questions about, like, opinions about world events, it's like that, and you see them kind of ramble, I'm like, well, you know, maybe it's that one person.
You're being polite. I guess you you see their dumb, really very dumb answers.
What I'm also saying is,
like name one country in Europe and someone says Arkansas.
Because I see things like
Connecticut.
That, I'm just like, you know what? Maybe you shouldn't do away
what's
with
the capital of
education.
What's the capital of Spain? Sorry, I keep interrupting you, but I gotta milk this. What's the capital of Spain? Connecticut.
You know.
And then they come out and say, "Oh, we are the greatest country in the world." Like, okay, like you know something I call America.
Like, sometimes like
Something I call America.
What's that?
The uncivilized superpower of the world. Sometimes when I go on social media and I see certain videos, I don't need anybody to tell me where it happened. I just see it. I know that this could only happen in America. Because right now what's happening actually in the US, I don't know if you noticed that DEI has replaced for them all the other, you know, derogatory terms they can use to describe black and brown people. Like you can't call them nigger, you can't throw the stereotypes out there that just because someone is black, they are dumb. So I guess right now, if you just see a black person, a person of color in a position of authority or in a high position, you just say, oh, DEI. DEI. And then when you look at people calling you DEI, right?
Oh, wow.
I have never had anything handed to me.
I sometimes think about how we got to where we have programs like this, right? There was obviously a lot of civil rights movements, mm-hmm. things like this, where, you know, we've seen a lot of injustices and you saw a lot of movement. So I even kind of looked back to, let's say, even events that happened a few years ago, like even things that happened with George Floyd, where people were looking at the U.S. and they were actually saying, well, do you know what? This is not the right thing on the world stage. And we see who you are and what you're doing, right? And I think that we're not necessarily in a vacuum anymore, like we were in like the 1920s, where we could just kind of sit back and be like, well, that's happening in America, and everything was basically housed in a vacuum. So it's like, if there was like any kind of wars or any kind of arrests, then they can kind of parent that and kind of keep that contained. But now we're seeing, you know, you have to be a world neighbor, right? And even just our response to that, If you don't like living in the States, like, I think a lot of people are starting to look at other places where, you know, America isn't the best place. There's, let's say, even people since DEI coming in, trans people have even decided to, like, you know, give up their American citizenship and move to places like Mexico, where it's a little bit more easy to live as that type of person, right? So I think what we're going to also see is, if you're going to take, you know, kind of a white nationalist point of view too, a lot of times you're not going to see, you know, like the support that you get from other, like, people, like immigrants coming to your country, our doctors, lawyers, and things like that, right? And they actually support that fabric of the country. Literally look at your country and be like, well, why go to US when I can go to places like UK and not be discriminated or...
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, there's options, and U.S. is not going to be, you know, maybe a leader, like, maybe in the next 10 years. I don't know, right? But obviously, you can see how fast things could change.
The point we are in our world of today, we're in a world where the majority wouldn't even let the minority have their say anymore. Mm-hmm. It used to be that, oh, the minority will have their say, but the majority will have their way. And I was wondering, if the world today was the world of the 19th and 20th centuries during the civil rights movement, where clearly there were the majority, and the majority kind of, you know, had an introspection, looked inwards to themselves and said, okay, this is not right. We've got to treat people better. And did that when they could have, you know, held on to their guns, stuck to their guns, and, you know, maintained the status quo and just keep doing those things. But they had a change of heart.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, this is what the world we are in today, where the majority just feels, no, we don't care. Oh, yeah. Actually, the little rights that, you know, you were given, we're going to just grab it off of you.
Yeah.
That's what bothers us the most. It bothers us more than whether we'll still have a job when this guy wins. And that's why when I see all these CNN interviews, this farmer in Nashville is a Trump voter. Now he's crying about what's happening to their farm because all the immigrants working at the farm have left and he's scared that, the farm might close down. And I'm like, you know, bro, close it down. I want that farm to close down. I want it to close down tomorrow morning, right? Because how else are you going to learn from your own stupidity? I want the farms closed. I want you to go bankrupt, right? So that next time the election is around the corner, you think it through.
Yeah.
There's an adage.
This is a unique situation, though, right? Because it's like never, like, when I'm looking at these things, it's like, this is literally history in the making in the worst way possible, right?
Yeah. It's a different thing if it's just a politician who came and railroaded all of us with the sweet talks of the things he was going to do. He didn't even pretend.
He did not.
Right? He did not pretend. Guys, it's just savagely cruel, inhumane when you see the evil he can conjure, the great extent he can go to think things that will make other people's lives worse.
Yeah.
Right? And this guy has a history of it. So that's why when I see all those interviews, I couldn't care less. Like I said, I wish the farms would close down today.
Do you know what? Right. Though, I think we're starting to see a little bit of a, you know, an uptake in him maybe seeing some of those consequences.
Where is the president? What kind of consequences is he seeing?
Let's say, for example, because, like, I think everybody that has voted for him, or we'll say a great majority, has looked at him as, you know, a leader in things like finances, and he's good businessman, and this is why we should follow him as a leader, because we're trying to make America great again. But then one thing, just to kind of even bring it back to an earlier point that we're talking about, where you've seen Donald Trump start putting the tariffs on Canadians, you saw there was a drop in the Dow Jones, and this kind of signified to, let's say, the people that are watching this, and this is our neighbors all over the world, that maybe you're not that great with as a businessman or things like that, right? Maybe some of your decisions are not as thought out, and they're not necessarily going to make sense for you, because, like, I'm looking at, you know, we, like, even as Canadians, once again, we supply so much power to U.S. citizens, and, you know, this is kind of who you're fighting with, right? So it's kind of like biting the hand that feeds you, and I mean that in both ways, right?
Literally and figuratively.
Yeah.
But have you thought about what if he's just doing this deliberately, just to make a quick buck?
I mean, that makes sense too.
Because essentially what's happening here is that it feels like the stock market is being manipulated. He announces the stupid tariffs, the stock market plummets, and then he pauses it, and the stock market picks up again. It reminds me when Elon Musk invested in Bitcoin, drove the price up to a certain point, and just cashed out, and the thing crashed. Yeah, just imagine that, right? Just imagine that. He started this Truth Social that I think, you know, it's basically probably him and his family members that subscribe to. Nobody knows about it outside the US. And just imagine what's going on. He announces all these stupid tariffs. The price of the Truth Social plummets, right? And maybe he has, yeah, you can call me conspiracy theorist, but it's not beyond what this dude can do. We've seen him do things like this before.
Yeah.
Right?
Maybe
it forces people to dump the stock in the market at a cheap price, and he buys them up himself.
You never know, like...
Yeah, he buys them up himself at that very cheap price, then says, oh, now we are pausing the tariffs again. And then the price goes up. Isn't he getting richer?
I mean...
And now he's conquered governments. He's captured all the state apparatus to the point where you can't even say that anybody will investigate that.
It's kind of interesting, though, right? Because one thing that I'm not really seeing... which I feel like is really interesting right now. It's like, where are the regulators? Obviously, we hear some whistleblowers where they're like, okay, I remember when...
All the regulators now just cowers to him. Remember, he started with just replacing every single person and nominating his lapdogs into sensitive positions. Kash Patel, FBI director, the dude that does podcast. What was his name? Former Obama security guard, as deputy director of the FBI.
What did I think was Andrew Tate? It's not him.
That's not beyond him, though. Yeah. That's not beyond him. You'd be surprised he might nominate Andrew Tate as the Secretary of Women Development. This dude actually nominated Matt Gaetz as Attorney General Matt Gaetz. I bet you if Jeffrey Epstein were still alive, he'd consider him for a cabinet position.
Probably.
Maybe Secretary for Children.
Yikes.
Yeah. Secretary for Children and Sexual Development.
Wow.
Yeah, Jeffrey Epstein. He'd do that. And then who else?
This is speculation, by the way.
Yeah.
But you never know.
It's not beyond him.
Exactly. Man, honestly, it's kind of like a sad state of affairs.
Yeah, for sure. It's bastardized everything. The U.S. Congress that used to be the citadel of, you know, where honorable and independent men and women go to serve. Now it's just people who are waiting for Trump to say jump, and they'll ask, how high, sir?
Yeah.
Like, how high do you want us to jump?
But I guess that's kind of the downside of capitalism, things like that, right? Everyone's for sale. I think that was actually even in a Globe and Mail article recently, which kind of mentioned that as well. And I thought, you know, it's kind of a sad state of affairs just to hear that as well.
Yeah. It's unfortunate. Just consider the contradiction. He's hounding Ukraine, the attacked, right? The people that were invaded, he's hounding them to make a peace deal with Russia. But guess what? Israel is somewhere pounding and pummeling Gaza.
Man.
And he's okay with it, right?
Yeah.
He's okay with it. People talks about, oh, the global world, the world order, or the international law. There's no international law. There's no world order. It's just an animal farm. It's an animal farm. You know, if you have the U.S. support, you could do anything.
Yeah.
Mate. Anything. Because we've seen Israel do anything to Gaza, the children and women of Gaza.